The appendix of the book is the bit at the end that provides additional information and context, which is interesting. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose and today I have been thinking about appendicitis. I've had a few cases of appendicitis recently and it got me pondering about this relatively common surgical emergency and how we actually go about ensuring that we don't miss a case of it in our urgent care clinics. Now you'll all know the textbook symptoms. Generalised abdominal pain, localising over about 24 hours or so to the right iliac fossa, with associated anorexia, nausea, perhaps a fever, the pain worsening with movement, speed bumps in the car being painful is quite a typical complaint I get, and all these would be a pretty typical story. We all understand the vague visceral pain at the start becoming the localised peritoneal pain, accounting for the progression of the pain. As a result, early in the course, an abdominal examination may be normal because without the peritonism in the right iliac fossa, we do not get the examination findings we expect. Guarding, rebound tenderness, a positive Rovsing sign, percussion tenderness, perhaps a hop positive test, or a positive psoas sign, or an obturator sign. Other options to determine the diagnosis can be using a scoring system like the Alvarado score, or looking at a white blood count and CRP, or perhaps a focused point of care ultrasound scan, or a comprehensive ultrasound scan, or perhaps a CT. And of course, differential diagnoses always need to be considered, such as UTI, renal stones, ovarian cysts or torsion, hernia, ectopic pregnancy, the list goes on. Now, considering all of this, there are also curveballs that enter the picture. Over the years, I've had a number of cases that remain in my memory buffer. I've referred an appendicitis that presented to me 3 hours after the onset of pain, but they had such good signs of peritonism, I referred on the strength of the examination rather than the time the patient had experienced pain. The patient did have appendicitis, and despite asking carefully, the patient had not any generalised abdominal pain prior to the localised pain. I've had a case where diarrhoea was the primary presenting complaint, and I spent the history thinking and directing my questions towards gastroenteritis, only to lay a hand on the patient and being surprised at the peritonism in the right iliac fossa. And I've had a case of epigastric pain, onset after drinking shots the night before. I spent the history thinking gastritis secondary to alcohol, only to find tenderness in the right iliac fossa. I presume their epigastric pain was actually their visceral pain just starting to develop, and that the booze had nothing to do with it. These three cases all had appendicitis confirmed at surgery. In each case, though, it was the hand on the tummy that led me to the diagnosis, which is one reason why I'm very wary about telemedicine consultations. So appendicitis can be tricky and atypical, but the one constant is that you don't want to be the doctor who sends one home to perforate. But nor do you want to be referring all abdominal pains for a surgical review. So all the tests, investigations, signs and scoring systems mentioned above are all worth knowing and applying at various times, but the most important thing is to always have appendicitis on your differential list for abdominal pains. If you feel comfortable to send someone home as they have a non-surgical abdomen, then good safety netting is essential, and telling the patient directly that appendicitis has not been excluded and remains a possibility. They should know the symptoms of progression and know to represent accordingly. Now, arranging tests in urgent care can be helpful, but we should always ask ourselves if that normal white blood count is going to reassure you enough to send the patient home. For my money, if the patient has local peritonism on exam, I don't care what their white blood count is, the person really needs to see a surgeon. But tests are obviously important when considering differentials, so bloods, urine, ultrasound are all useful in that context too. Ultimately, there are many ways in which you might arrive at a diagnosis. A quick history and a hand on the tummy might be all you need, or the patient may have bloods, ultrasound scans, CT, observation, four opinions and a diagnostic laparoscopy before the final outcome. But I think so long as we always keep appendicitis on our differentials for abdo pain, we will hopefully not send one home inappropriately. And finally, we have to learn to be comfortable in erring on the right side for our patient. Would you rather send a patient home with appendicitis or feel bad that you sent a patient in for surgical review who was discharged with a non-sinister diagnosis? Ultimately, we must be comfortable in getting the diagnosis wrong in a way that favours our patient and not the other way around. And it's not a competition. Our egos should not have any part in the decision-making process. In fact, whenever I refer a case of possible appendicitis, I always tell the patient that I might be wrong, but that I would rather err on the side of caution given the alternative. Because with the tools at our disposal in an urgent care, and the time constraints, and all of those atypical presentations, if you think it could be appendicitis, it's best to ask a surgeon. And I guess that's the conclusion of all my ponderings. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions or corrections, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. But we'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then. But for now, thanks for listening.